Da 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 da. Time for another bedtime story. We're reading A Tale of Two Cities, and yet again, the author Charles Dickens has written a chapter too beefy for one show, and so I now present the end of chapter 6 and chapter 7 of A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. In chapter 6, we left the Marquise racing through a town, preparing to meet his nephew Charles, who was arriving from England. The coach drove off at great speed, and later that evening the Marquise arrived at his castle to keep an appointment with his nephew Charles, who was arriving from England. When the two were seated over dinner, the Marquise asked Charles Darnay why he had returned to France. "Sir," said Charles, "ours is an honorable family, but we have mistreated the people, and now we are paying for it. My father punished everyone who interfered with his pleasures, and you, my father's twin brother and heir to his property, have also done wrong. My mother, on her deathbed, begged me to be merciful to the people and to make up for the wrongs you both have done. I have been trying to do this for years and have returned to France to continue to help the poor peasants." "We were born into this family," said the Marquise sternly, "and I, for one, will fight to keep these revolutionary peasants from changing the ruling system in France, even if it means fighting and imprisoning you as well." "This property and my country are both lost to me," Charles answered sadly. "France is a land of misery and ruin. I will live somewhere else and work to support myself." "Ha!" cried the Marquise, looking around the luxurious room. "You will live in England, I suppose?" "Yes. There I will not feel ashamed of my family name, for I do not use it." "Other Frenchmen have fled to England. Do you know a doctor and his daughter?" the Marquise asked with a sly smile. "Yes, I do. Why do you ask?" Without replying to his nephew, the Marquise ended the conversation by calling a servant and ordering him to show Charles to his room. Then the Marquise went to his own bedchamber. As he lay in bed waiting for sleep to come, he thought about the day that had passed, the palace reception, the child killed by the carriage, the grieving father, the fixer of roads, and the tale of the man hanging from the coach. "A very bad day indeed," he muttered as sleep finally came. As the Marquise slept, the stone faces on the castle's front walls stared out into the black night, sounding no alarm as silent footsteps crept toward the gates. When the sun rose the following morning, there was another stone face at the castle, that of the Marquise on his pillow. A mask of fear was frozen on his face, and a knife lay driven into his heart. Around the handle was a note: "He is ready for his tomb, from Jacques." End of chapter 6. And now we're going to have a crack at reading chapter 7, Sidney's Confession. During the following year, Charles Darnay became a popular and successful teacher and translator of French. As his success grew, so did his love for Lucy Manette. And so it was one summer day that he decided to ask Dr. Manette for Lucy's hand in marriage. "I know that you love her," said the doctor, "but does Lucy know of your love, of your wish to marry her?" "No, sir. I thought it proper to speak to you first, in case there were other suitors." "Well, Mr. Carton calls on us often." "There is something else, sir," said Charles. "I do not wish there to be any secrets between us. I wish to tell you my real name and why I am living in England." "Stop!" cried the doctor, placing his fingers over Charles' lips. "Do not tell me now. If you and Lucy marry, you can tell me on your wedding day. Now go, before Lucy returns. I must speak to her alone." When Lucy came home an hour later, she was surprised to find her father's reading chair empty. Then a sudden hammering sound came from Dr. Manette's bedroom. Lucy froze with fear, realizing that her father was working at his shoemaker's bench. Trembling, she ran upstairs and gently helped him to his feet. She walked with him back and forth for many hours, and it was late at night when she finally left him sleeping peacefully. During that same year, another man also fell in love with Lucy Manette, but unlike Charles Darnay, Sidney Carton did not feel himself worthy of her. He had not made a success of his life, and he drank too much, yet something in him drove him to confide his feelings to Lucy anyhow. So it was that one afternoon, Sidney's feet carried him to the neat Manette house. When Lucy received him in her sitting room, she noticed a rather strange look on his face. "Are you ill, Mr. Carton?" she asked. "No, but the life I lead is rather unhealthy." "Forgive me for asking, but wouldn't it be better to change your way of life?" "It is too late to change," he said, as tears filled his eyes. "I shall never be any better than I am now, and I fear that I shall sink even lower. However, I do hope that you will listen to what I have to say. If it will make you feel better, of course I will listen. Thank you for your kindness, Miss Manette. If you were able to return the love of a man you see here before you, this drunken, wasted, good-for-nothing man, he can bring you only misery, and so I am thankful that our love can never be. But can I not help you, Mr. Carton, in some other way? No, Miss Manette, I'm grateful just to have you listen to me. I didn't think I had any feelings for home and family left until I saw your beautiful face and the lovely home you have made for yourself and your father. But could I not influence you to change your life for the better, Mr. Carton? You have influenced me, Miss Manette, to open my heart to you as I have not done to anyone else, and I beg you never tell anyone what I have confided to you. I promise. Thank you, he said. And he lifted her hand to his lips. Please always remember and believe that the true Sidney Carton is the man here with you now, the man who would lay down his life for you. Farewell, my dear Miss Manette. And God bless you. End of chapter 7. Good night.